The Bible teaches that when God forgives our sins, He remembers them no more. How can this be, since God knows everything? After great spiritual failures, we say with King David, "My sin is ever before me." So, how can it not be before God? The answer lies in the concept of covering. Today, hope for all who fear their sins on earth will never be forgotten in heaven. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it. In this, his third message, he's teaching us what God does with forgiven sin.
What does God do with forgiven sin? God covers the sin. God takes a tarp and puts it over the oil spill. But actually, it's better than that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's all that God did, was to simply take our sin and cover it with a blanket? But I want you to know today that that is only part of the story. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 61, verse 10. "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation." Notice this, he has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. God just doesn't cover our sins with a tarp. God covers those sins with a robe of righteousness. The death of Jesus, the worth of Jesus to God. That's how carefully and completely God covers forgiven sin. First of all, he covers it. That means that he no longer sees it. Do you have better eyes than God? Can you see things that God has preferred not to look at? He covers the sin. Secondly, I want you to notice that he cleanses it. And now we come to the 51st chapter in the Psalms. I'm trying to find it. I have a different Bible today, but I'll just quote it. It's there in Psalm 51, where David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions." Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." And how well does he wash it? Is it not there in verse 7? "Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be made whiter than snow." God not only covers it, he cleanses it. Now we're talking about the cleansing of the conscience. Now we're speaking of the experience of not only being clean, but actually feeling clean, because the condemnation has left us. He cleanses us. Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us." Why does John separate forgiveness and cleansing? Aren't they both the same? They happen at the same time. Yes, they're part of the same work of God, but John knew what you and I have experienced, that there are many people who have experienced the forgiveness of God, but they have never been cleansed by God. The pollution of their consciences has not been washed away. Like the woman who had an abortion and said to me, "Though I've confessed it many, many times, I still feel foul from the top of my head to the soles of my feet." She had been forgiven, but what she needed was cleansing. Now we're talking about the conscience. "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Do you today, as a Christian, come to church and live tomorrow, Monday morning, with a purged conscience, or is it always nagging, always feeling unclean? God actually purges the conscience. I love that. You know why? Because there isn't a psychiatrist in the world. There isn't a counselor in the world. You can take a seminar on guilt management, and there's no way for you to be able to reach down to the crevices of your conscience and cleanse it. One day many years ago, I was sitting in my study, and I received a call, and my secretary said, "There's a distraught woman on the phone who wants to talk to you." So I spoke with her. She had been listening to a radio program where it seemed to be that after you receive Christ as Savior, if you so much as sin too many times, it shows you were never saved. And so she began to doubt her salvation. She said, "I was converted at the age of 19. I've led people to Christ." And then she said, weeping, "Oh, but God knows that I have failed Him so many times." And she says, "Where can I go to, Pastor Lutzer?" She says, "Where can I go to accept the blood of Christ?" And here's the line now. "Isn't this sweet?" She said, "I cannot take steel wool to my heart and scrub it. I must receive the blood of Christ." And you can't take steel wool to your heart and scrub it either, can you? Can you imagine going to Home Depot and you say, "Well, give me some steel wool and some Lysol." Why? "I have a dirty heart and it needs to be cleansed." The answer is, of course, there's no way for you to do that. Because there is something that tells us that we cannot get down deep into the psyche. We can't go to that deep level of consciousness to be forgiven and to be cleansed. But God cleanses us. "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." God wants you to be free from that nagging conscience. He wants you to receive cleansing, which sometimes takes time. It's something that you have to insist on. The devil will oppose you at this point. But David, with all of his sin, experienced the washing and the cleansing of God. Look at how far we've come. He covers it that he doesn't see it. He cleanses it so that he doesn't regard it. He cancels it. We sing, "He breaks the power of canceled sin." You'll notice that David says, "Blot out my transgressions." Isaiah 43, 25, I am he who blots out your transgressions, and I remember your sins no more. Those of us who have worked with pocket calculators know how often and how important it is to have a delete key. Those of us who use computers and we're writing and we make mistakes all the time, the computer is so forgiving, you just hit that delete key. God says, "I delete it so that I do not even remember it." Now, I need to tell you, of course, that that doesn't mean that God has lost some knowledge. When the Bible says that God does not remember our sins, it simply means that He's not bringing it to the table every time we come to Him. He doesn't say, you want fellowship. Look at what you did last week. Now, that's the way we are, but that's not the way God is. He does not remember our sins. Now, we're talking just one-on-one. You're having a cup of tea in my study, and we're talking heart-to-heart, aren't we? Have you ever had to confess the same sin over and over again? If you don't say yes to that, then the sin that you have to confess right after that is the sin of lying, okay? But we come to God and we say, "Oh God, how can I face you with this same sin again?" And God says, "What sin are you talking about? I don't remember it. Why is your memory so much better than mine?" And we keep remembering what God says He is forgetting. He remembers our sins no more. And as a result of that, we do not need to remember what God has chosen to forget. Are you plagued with memories that have been forgiven, but they still have a hold on you? Number four, God carries them away. He carries them away. Listen to the text of Scripture. You will again have compassion on us, it says. You will tread on our sins underfoot and hurl them into the depths of the sea. So God takes our sins and he casts them into the depths of the sea. And when the psalmist wrote that, he had no idea of how deep the sea was. In those days, it was believed that the sea was about as deep as you could wade in, or a little bit beyond that, deep enough to drown, certainly. But they didn't know that the sea was 5 or 6 miles deep in certain places. And he says, you have taken our iniquities and you have cast them into the depths of the sea. And then after God throws them in the depths of the sea, he puts up a sign next to the sea. And the sign says, no fishing. No fishing. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God carries them away. He takes them away. He buries them and says, I'm actually removing them so that they are no longer an issue. So that he cancels them, that he does not remember them, and he carries them that he might not revisit them. You and I revisit them all the time, but he says, I cast them into the depths of the sea. Be free. Be free. This is Pastor Lutzer. I've given lots of thought to the question of why it is that if God forgives us so thoroughly and so completely, why it is that we have such a difficult time to walk in victory over guilt and self-condemnation. There are a couple of reasons. First of all, because the consequences of sin continue even when God does forgive us. He casts those sins into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. But if we do something that has consequences built into it, of course, those consequences are still going to be there, and they remind us of our sin. There's another reason, and that is that intuitively we think to ourselves that we have to be punished. Grace simply cannot be this good, we tell ourselves. And so there are many people who want to punish themselves. They think to themselves, I don't deserve it. Well, my friend, today I want you to know that you are right. You do not deserve it, nor do I deserve it. But that's the whole point of grace. We are getting what we don't deserve, God's mercy and God's love. Finally, there is a question that I'm sometimes asked. What about the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, where we as believers are going to be evaluated? Will we see our sins? Well, I want you to know that if we do see them, they'll be represented to us as forgiven, as cast into the depths of the sea. We will be evaluated, but the judgment seat of Jesus Christ is not a time of condemnation. It is indeed a time of evaluation. So the way in which we live is very important. But I personally never get over the wonder of God's grace and taking our sins completely away.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has been summarizing today's teaching on what God does with forgiven sin, the third of 6 messages on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow, Dr. Lutzer concludes this look at where a believer's sins end up. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about the series After You've Blown It. For information on other ministry resources, go to our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.